The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Us, if you will, to pass out. I've got 3x5 cards back there, and if you could pass one out to every person, now you're gonna need all 300 of them plus, maybe. But to pass those out, one to each person, please. And what I want you to do is, I'm going to preach a message tonight on when the church prays. And as God brings somebody that's in our church to your mind, I want you to write their name down. And then when I give the invitation tonight, I'd like for you to bring that 3x5 card with you up to the altar. And just to spend a few minutes praying for that family or praying for that person. Now, you don't have to write down details. Nobody has to know details about anything. And you'll see how the Holy Spirit, I believe, will help you to know who to pray for in lieu of the message. But I want you to take the 3x5 card, and as God prompts your heart through the preaching of the Bible tonight, I want you to write down some names. We're a church family. Somebody says the family that prays together stays together, all right? And I believe that's the same in a church. Church ought to be known for praying for people, especially their own. And so I want us to consider doing that tonight. Take your Bible and go to the book of Acts, chapter 12. The book of Acts, chapter 12. Look, if you will, in verse 5. The book of Acts, chapter 12, and verse 5. The Bible says in Acts, chapter 12, you may remain seated, please. But Acts chapter 12 and verse 5, here's what the Bible says. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Peter, of course, great man of God. Peter, of course, being used marvelously by God, but yet found himself in prison. The Bible says in verse 6, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept, the Bible says, the prison. Now, Father, bless, I pray tonight, please. And Lord, we'll thank you for speaking to our hearts, as I believe so importantly you do. Help us to be a church tonight that prays for one another. Help us to be a church tonight that truly cares for the needs of other church members that's sitting in this very room, or people that's homesick tonight. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I, at some times, have sat in church services, and honestly, sometimes a little envious, of preachers that can get up and they can read one verse, and they'll preach for 45 minutes, reading one verse, telling application after application, story after story. But I have not found myself to be able to do such. I use a lot of Bible unapologetically. I use a lot of Bible. I use a lot of Bible verses when I preach. Now, I'm for men that's able to do that. Matter of fact, I like listening to such men that are able to do that. And from time to time, I might be able to do something like that. But most of the time, you're going to get an expository type of message from me. I didn't say a dead one. I said a message from me that would be helpful. I want you to learn as much Bible as you can under my administration while I'm pastor. I want you to be able to take the Word of God and be able to sink it in deep. And that way, when you leave, you can say, thus saith the word of the Lord. I want you to be able to say that. I want you to be able to leave and say, this is what the Bible teaches, and I know it's true. And so because of that, I use a lot of Bible principles. I use a lot of Bible preaching, and we stay right along with the Scriptures. Now, may I say, I'm going to do the very same thing tonight. So I want you to take your Bible, and we're going to abide in Acts chapter 12 tonight. And I want us to see what happens when a church prays. What happens when a church prays? Is there some things that could take place in the lives of other people when churches pray? What would happen tonight if Parkside Baptist Church got a burden to pray for its members? what would happen? Yeah. What type of victories could our members see in their lives if somebody prayed for them? How many times could a door be open? Could a vision be given about what God would have a young person to do, or older person to do in serving God, if somebody would just pray for them? How many victories could be given to teenagers that are struggling in their lives if somebody other than just a mom or a dad would simply just pray? How many victories could people have in their life and in their businesses? I'm talking about in their businesses. If somebody just pray for them. How is it that people walk around almost seemingly destitute? Kind of like wandering through the wilderness. I think sometimes just because somebody doesn't pray. And so I'm going to show you some things tonight, and I think it'll be worthy of you note-taking. Statement number one, here's what happens when this church prayed for Peter. Now, we've already established the fact that he's in prison. As I read to you in verse 6 of Acts chapter 12, he's not just in prison, but he is really in a hard place. He's now, of course, between two soldiers, and he's chained to both of them. There's the keepers at the door. There's no way of escape. So here he is, and his plight before him is not good. There's not a good outlook for him. It looks like that everything is going to wind up really, really bad. But yet this church comes together, and this church decides that, hey, we're going to pray for him. So they pray for him. Now follow along in your Bible, and you're going to see exactly how God outlines this. We're in the book of Acts chapter 12. Look down as you follow with me in verse 7. The Bible says, and behold, it says, the angel of the Lord came upon him. And so here's what we see. God sent Peter a messenger. So God sent Peter somebody right there to be with him. Now that tells me one thing. When you go through difficult times in your life, when you go through times of imprisonment in your life, when you go through times of darkness in your life, you do not have to go through them alone. See, God can send somebody. And by the way, can I say this? Not everybody that looks happy is happy. Not every, you know, some people I think were born, if you would please, with an, or because of their child rearing or whatever, you know, they have a little bit of maybe optimism, or they're optimistic, if you would please, more so than pessimistic. You know, they have maybe a brighter look than a gloomier look, and it might be because of the people they hung around that helped to shape and form their personalities when they were young. I'm not really sure, but I do know this, that you do not have to go through your life struggles all by yourself. Statement number one, God sent Peter a messenger. Now, by the way, that messenger had a word from the Lord. That messenger is going to speak clearly. That messenger is going to be used of God to help him and show him the way to escape his personal prison life that he is suffering right there. So statement number one, when the church prays, and by the way, who needs a messenger? Who needs somebody, who needs God to send somebody in their life tonight that's a member of Parkside Baptist Church that is struggling all by themselves, and it looks like they're not going to make it, and they're feeling alone, and they're feeling destitute, and they're feeling like nobody's for me. Do you know somebody like that? Do you know somebody that just needs that encouragement? Hey, why not pray for them? That's what this church did. So God sent Peter a messenger. Statement number two, God sent Peter a light. Look at it. We're in Acts chapter 12 and verse 7. The Bible says, and a light shined in the prison. And so first he gets a messenger. What happens? Once the messenger shows up, now the light shines. And by the way, isn't that the way it is? All of a sudden, you're walking along, you got poochy lip disease, you're sad, things are not going well, and then God sends somebody in your life that's a messenger from God that has a good word, and that good word all of a sudden brings light into the situation. All right, so here's what we see. The church prays. By the way, do you know of somebody that needs light in their life? Do you know of somebody that's having a hard time seeing the right direction? Do you know of somebody that's having a hard time being able to focus in the right manner? Listen, here's what we understand. God sent Peter a messenger. God sent Peter a light. The Bible says over in Psalm 119 and verse 130, the Bible says, the entrance of thy words, it says, giveth light and giveth understanding, it says, unto the simple. All right, so God says, the entrance of thy word. Now here comes a messenger. Messenger is going to do what? He's a messenger from God. And God uses that messenger to be able to come into his life and to speak truth into his life. And all of a sudden now, right after the messenger appears, what takes place? There's light. The Bible says here that Peter also, God sent Peter the help that he needed. Look at it. We're in our Bibles. We're in Acts chapter 12 and in verse 7. The Bible talks about how the angel of the Lord. Now, what did that angel of the Lord do? The Bible says smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise, it says, up quickly. And it says the chains fell off from his hands. All right, so what happens? All of a sudden, Peter's in prison. The church begins to pray. They're not going to go down and try and bail him out. They're not going to go down and try and bomb him out. They're not going to go down and try and break him out. What do? They simply pray. By the way, you cannot help somebody that's having personal problems more than God can help them. God is the one that can help them. God is the one that can show them the way out. God is the one that can change a life. Wait a minute. And so what happens when the church prays? God sends Peter a messenger. What happens when the church prays? God sends Peter a light. What happens when the church prays? God sends Peter the help he needed. Again, you'll see in your Bible where the Bible says that the angel of the Lord came, and the Bible talks about how he smote Peter on the side and he said, rise up. He said, get up. And by the way, sometimes we need somebody to give us that charge. Yeah. Oh, stop having poochy lip disease. Get up. Rise up. Don't lay there in the mire. Get up. Rise up. Don't just lay there in self-pity. Rise up. Get up. Don't just lay there, if you will please, feeling all alone and by yourself. Rise up. Get up. Isn't it something how the Bible says that though I walk through the shadow, though I walk through the shadow of what? Death. The valley, the shadow of the valley of death. Valleys are low. Mountains are high. What are you supposed to do when you go through the valley? Doesn't say sit down. Right. Though I sit down in the valley of the shadow of death. Doesn't say that. Does not say you're supposed to run through the valley either. Right. If you run through the valley, you miss instruction. Yeah. Well, just get me out of here. Get me out of here. By the way, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the burning fiery furnace. When the king looked in and said, I don't see three, but I see four, and the fourth is likened unto the Son of God. If they would have not gone into the fiery furnace, there never would have been that witness. The kingdom would not have changed. God's name would have not been magnified. Can I tell you, when you go through the valleys of life, God sends them. Why? Because he wants to be glorified. He wants people to look to the God of heaven. He wants people to understand that God still is alive and well. I'm saying this. I'm saying that what happens when the church prays? God sent Peter a messenger. God sent Peter a light. God sent Peter the help that he needed. Something else we'll see in our Bible. Acts chapter 12 and verse 7 again. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord smote, it says, Peter on the side and raised him up. Now watch what happens here. Saying, arise up quickly. Arise up quickly, the Bible says. And so here Peter is, notice the last phrase, and his chains fell off of his hands. So what happened? God sent Peter a messenger. The messenger not just brought the message, but light on the situation. Now, all of a sudden, since light is on the situation, we see that God was able to help Peter to have the need met that Peter needed to have in his life. Not only that, you see this. Now God sent Peter freedom. Amen. Notice, if you would please, the order of it. First, God sends somebody in your life. Come here, David. God sends somebody in your life. You're walking along. You got poochy lip disease, poochy lip disease. Walking along, sad as can be. All of a sudden, God sends somebody in your life. Says, hey, wait a minute. How are things going? A messenger comes in your life. God sends somebody in your life. And by the way, you may even view them as saying, oh, that was angelic. Now, by the way, God is not going to turn a human into an angel. They are divinely created by God. All of a sudden, the husband says, my wife is an angel. By the way, all the angels in the Bible were of masculine status, if you will, please. And so if your husband says this, if the husband says, you're an angel, what he's saying is you look like a man. Because they were all, okay, they were, I know some people today have problems with that because they don't know the difference of men and women. But the angels were always of the male stature. Always of the male stature. You say, oh, you're just, that's what God said. By the way, God created them. Hey, got news for you. God created you too. God created you one way. You don't have a right to change it to be another way. Let God be God and every man a liar. Listen, I'm saying this. I'm saying all of a sudden, here he is. He's down. He's discouraged. God sends him a messenger. Messenger comes in his life. Then all of a sudden, the light shines in. If you know anything about prisons, in those days, they were dark. They were gloomy. You couldn't see. There's no candlelight. Then all of a sudden, a light comes in. Can I tell you, I don't care what your prison is. I don't care what you find yourself in the lowest place of life, and it just seems like that you can't see your way out. Can I tell you, the same God that gave Peter the light is the same God that can give you the light. All of a sudden here, the angel of God comes in, the messenger comes in and says, arise. And so now the light shines in. The messenger gives the message. And as he says to arise, when all of a sudden Peter arose, the chains fell off. Peter didn't take them off. No, there was no type of equipment that was going to cut them off. No. There's only one person can get you out of your personal bondage. Who is that? God. And it doesn't matter how deep you are. It doesn't matter how far your friends think that you have gone. God can break every chain. God can break every bondage. God can help you in every single way. But you've got to come to God and let him help. Thank you, David. Be seated. Watch this if you will. And so God sent Peter a messenger. God sent Peter a light. God sent Peter the help he needed. God sent Peter freedom. Statement number next. Then God sent Peter instructions. Look at it. We're in Acts chapter 12 and verse 8. The Bible says, and the angel said unto him, it says, gird thyself, it says, and bind on thy sandals. And the Bible says, watch it now, and so he did. By the way, it was immediate. By the way, watch this. If you're in a prison and it's dark, I mean, you feel this thing crawling across your feet at night. You can't even see to get it off. You don't know if it's a spider. You don't know if it's a cockroach. You don't know if it's a deadly scorpion. You don't have a clue. All of a sudden, you feel something slimy going up your side. You don't know if it's a snake. You don't have a clue. You've been living there for a couple of days, and then all of a sudden, there's a messenger appears. There he is. But along with him comes the light. Hey, can I tell you, thank God for the light. Have you ever been in the dark despair of facing a problem in your life and all of a sudden the light comes on? It's like, now I know what to do. Now I know the direction to go. Now I see it. Here's what takes place. Church prays. All because a church prays. God sent Peter a messenger. God sent Peter a light. God sent Peter the help he needed. God sent Peter freedom. Now God is going to send Peter instructions. The angel said unto him, he said, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. He says, and he did. And he saith unto him, he says, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. What's he doing? He's going to lead him out. He's going to lead him out. Now, by the way, Most of the time, if you're in darkness, you cannot find your way out. I want to submit something to you tonight. If you could have found your way out, you'd already be out. Somebody told me the other day, they said, "Preacher, I'm trying." I said, "But you're still trying. How's that going for you?" They said, "Well, it's not going too good." "How long you been in misery?" "Been in misery," the man said. "Been in misery for about a year." I said, "You've tried it, failed, tried it, failed, tried it, failed. Can I tell you, you're a failure. And you've proven it. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because you are trying it without God. I got a suggestion. Why don't you try it with God?" Are you listening to me? That dear brother went home and he said, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it." He got along with God. Came back a week later and said, "It worked. I've been trying for over a year. Couldn't get victory. Went with God for 1 week. I got victory." By the way, wait a minute. Watch this. You're not going to keep victory. Paul said, "I die daily." Bible talks about our daily bread. That's why teenagers, they go to youth camp, make this decision, make that decision, surrender to this, get rid of this. They come back, they'll last 2 weeks.
Right.
Yep. Typically, 2 weeks. If they last longer than that, it's probably because they got good parents. But they last about 2 weeks. 2 weeks of fire, 2 weeks of excitability, 2 weeks of "I'm gonna," and then after about that, you'll see that the battery begins to uncharge. The teenager that came back, which was more spiritual than anybody else around them, begins to uncharge. Before you know it, now mom and daddy's saying, "Come on, get up. Get up. You can make it to the bus route. Yes, you can. Come on, get up. You ought to be going soul winning.
Yeah.
Come on, you can do it. You can do it." What happened? I'll tell you what happened. They thought that one decision in their life would last them for a lifetime, and it does not. It's a daily walk. It's a daily communication. It's a daily obeying God. Okay, here it is. So here's what we see. Now all of a sudden Peter receives instructions. You think he's glad to get those instructions? Man, you think he's, by the way, can you think of somebody around you that needs instructions? Can you think of somebody around you that's having a hard time obeying God? Maybe you ought to write their name down. Maybe somebody ought to pray for them. Here's what we see. Then God sent Peter a clear passage out. Not only clear instructions, but a clear passage out. Look at it. We're in Acts chapter 12 and verse 9. The Bible says, "And he went out and he followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision." He said, "Man, it can't be true. I was in prison. I was going to face judgment, probably death. Must have been a dream. Couldn't have been true." Thought he dreamed it. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, "And when they passed the first and the second ward," so they went to two gates, through two gates. The Bible says, "He came onto an iron gate that leadeth onto the city, which opened them," it says, of his own accord. Now watch it. "Which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out, and they passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him." He's free. He went through one gate. Now, by the way, some people get a partial victory, and then they stop. Then they go through another gate, and they stop. Why don't you make it all the way through?
Amen.
And by the way, the last gate was the biggest gate. Doesn't say that the first two gates, doesn't give a description of the first two gates that's in the wards. The last gate, it says iron gate. Notice, if you would please, how the Holy Spirit allows us to see that. So I can imagine going through a ward, it's probably a door, might have even been a wooden door. They open the wooden door, pass through, wooden door, pass through, iron mega gate. And it just opens. They pass through into the street. Now, wait a minute. This is good if you get it. You see, we're talking about the God that answers prayer. Well, I wish so-and-so would make better decisions. How many times you prayed for him? Well, I wish my kids would straighten up. How many times you prayed for him? Well, I wish my parents would get the light. How many times you prayed for him? Well, I wish that so-and-so would stop being that gossiper. How many times you prayed for him? Well, I wish that so-and-so, I just wish that they would just do what they're supposed to do. How many times have you prayed for them? I'm saying this, that just because the church prayed, God sent Peter a messenger. God sent Peter a light. God sent Peter the help he needed. God sent Peter freedom. God sent Peter instructions. God sent Peter a clear passage out. My last statement, here it is. God sent Peter many blessings. Watch this. This is so neat. Look at verse 11. I'm done. Here it is. Acts chapter 12, verse 11. The Bible says, and when Peter was come to himself, all of a sudden it's like, hey, blah, 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 blah. What happened? Man, where am I at? You ever feel that way? I've ridden some rides at Six Flags. I get off. I'm sweating profusely. And I'm thinking about, I was an idiot to get on that ride. I start walking away from that ride, and I go, bruh, bruh. Then people would come up, you know, these teenagers. Yeah. I mean, boy, you know, or colleges, they'll come running up. Hey, come on, preacher. You want to go again? No. No. I always say no thank you. I don't say no, but no thank you. I appreciate you thinking of me. God bless you. And I walk away quick. You know? Or I'll blame my wife, and I'll say, my wife and I have had enough. And I'll say, thank you, honey, for bailing me out. Now, I'm saying this. Watch this, if you will. So he had many blessings. The Bible says that when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know, it says, the surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod. The Bible says, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews, he said, man, it was the Lord. You see, he knew that it took God to get him out of his prison. He knew that. You know, people all the time say, well, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. How's it going? People say, I wish I could believe, but I can't. Why not? I think you're going to the wrong people. You're going to the wrong person. What about going to God? What about letting God help? You know, I have preacher friends that are not in the ministry right now. And they have said, man, I just want to get back in the ministry. Here's my question. How much are you concerned about that? Oh, I'm very concerned. I want to get back in the ministry. Are you really concerned about that? Yeah, I'm really concerned. How many times a day do you pray for it? Have you fasted? Have you prayed? One thing I know about God, God is the one that opens doors. God is the one that shuts doors. I've often said this, that I'm not a great preacher. I try to love people deeply, but I'm not a great preacher. But for some strange reason, God has opened door after door after door in country after country after country, and preachers calling after preachers calling after preacher's calling. Now, why is that? It's not me. Might it be God? Might it be that the Lord God sees a Mike Wells that really knows who he is? You know, if ever you become in my spot, maybe you can identify. I don't know. But I know how I used to stutter. I know how I used to stutter. I get up when I first started preaching, and oh, it was absolutely horrifically bad. But then after starting to preach in churches, God took the stammering tongue away. I said, God. God took the stammering tongue away. I know that. I know what my health used to be like many years ago. Coming up as a child and a teenager with getting the shots all the time and going to the hospital all the time. I remember being scared of the doctors because I knew another shot was coming. I remember that. But man, God's been so kind to me and I have good health. I made a promise that when I turned 57, I used to say, I'm not going to take vitamins. I said that when I was in my 50s because I said I'm not old enough. That's not true. And by the way, don't take my advice. Then when I turned 51, somebody said, you going to start taking vitamins? I said, I'm not old enough. They said, well, you're old enough to take coffee. Smart aleck. I said, that is vitamins. Yeah. You juice the bean. The community coffee bean. But I thought because Dad died at age 57 and Mom died at age 54 and my older brother died at age 57, I thought that'd probably be a good marker. That probably now I'm probably old enough, don't take my advice, just a mind head thing with me, I'm going to start taking vitamins. Man, now I'm taking vitamins, I think I'm going to live to be 114 years old. I got so much energy, it scares me. I go get in my truck and the neighbors run. Because they know my driving habits. What happens when the church prays? Think about this. Who needs a messenger? Does somebody need somebody in their life that you can pray for to say, dear God, I know they need somebody in their life. Could you pray for them? Is there somebody in our church that maybe you think needs just a little bit more light in their life that you could pray for? Is there somebody in our church tonight that maybe they just need a little bit of extra help that you could love, maybe even be the help? Is somebody in our church tonight that maybe needs a little bit of extra freedom, financially, health-wise, whatever? Is somebody in our church tonight that maybe needs a little bit of extra instructions? Maybe is there somebody in our church tonight that maybe they need a clear passage? Oh, wait, here's a good one. Is there somebody in our church tonight that needs just some extra blessings in their life? Because it just sure does seem like that God needs to give them that tender, loving touch of love. And they need that. Is there somebody that you could pray for tonight? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.